If you went to investors and said you wanted to start the next big burger chain, chances are they'd laugh you right out of the bank. Not only do the majority of new restaurants fail in the first year, but you'd be going against some of the biggest, most established brands in the world. McDonald's, anybody? The rise of fast casual dining, though, has changed up the market a little bit, shaken it, if you will, which is why I went out to New York City to visit Randy Garuti. He's the CEO of a restaurant chain that is growing so fast, it's got restaurants in Dubai, Moscow, and Istanbul. And, oh yeah, the company went public back in January. If you're a New Yorker, you already know where I'm going. I'm talking about Shake Shack, about the only thing more famous than its food are the lines for that food that stretch down a New York City block. So I waited with Randy in one of those lines at the Shake Shack that started it all for this edition of Corner Office.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Hey, thanks very much.
Real pleasure to meet you. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming out to the Shack, you guys.
Wouldn't have missed it.
This is all right.
After all the stories we've heard. So we're gonna sit and talk, but first I need a cold drink, and I'm told the coffee shakes are the thing to do.
That is a really good way to go, the fair shake.
All right. Tell me where we are.
Well, we are here on a pretty much picture-perfect summer day at Shake Shack.
Are you out of your mind, picture-perfect? It's 1,000 degrees.
If you like sweating it out a little bit, we're here. Which this whole thing that we're sitting in front of was a complete and total accident, really and truly.
Which is the best part of this whole story. It started as a hot dog hamburger cart.
It did, but before that, we have two fine dining restaurants over there. Yeah. 11 Madison Park, which is a Michelin 3-star restaurant, and Tabla. And we were busy running one-of-a-kind New York's favorite fine dining restaurants. This park, 12, 13, 14 years ago, had really fallen into disrepair. Rats, homeless, drugs. You had to walk around it.
A little run down.
Needed some love.
Yeah.
And Danny and a number of neighborhood people created the Madison Square Park Conservancy to help fund the park and renew it. And the first thing they did was an art exhibit called I Heart Taxi. Right here in this sand, an artist from Thailand put New York taxis on stilts and said, I want a hot dog cart as a part of this exhibit.
Wow.
So we decided out of 11 Madison Park, Michelin 3-star restaurant, we were going to sell some hot dogs, bring them to the hot dog cart. All of a sudden, 50 people lined up, 100 people lined up. The hot dog cart became this unbelievable thing in New York. For 3 years, we ran that hot dog cart as the park started to come back to life.
Yeah.
All the money we made went to the park. And the city then came to us and said, why don't we create a little kiosk over here, 400 square feet. And we named it Shake Shack, thinking we'd sell a couple hot dogs. Turns out we added the Shack Burger to the menu. 2004, Shake Shack is born.
Here, we'll climb in the line here. We're getting the sea line.
The first thing that we're really lucky today is that it's 95 degrees and humid.
And people are still here. That's the bananas part, man.
Well, we manage the line by the tree, right? So we're right now at tree 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
The normal line, if it wasn't 95 and humid, we'd be at 4th tree, and that's how you know. And you can go on the Shack Cam and look at this online.
Oh, we have.
We have the deal.
How much do you think it helps that the folks running this company now had their start in 3-star restaurants?
It's a essential part of who we are. I've been working in our company for 16 years. If you look at our leadership group here at Shake Shack, it's built with a lot of people who, our culinary director came from Gramercy Tavern, right? Some of our ops team are fine dining guys. And we combine that with people who've worked in much bigger and sometimes public companies. That tension around our leadership table is what makes Shake Shack what it is.
Should we just step up there?
We should. Let's order.
All right.
I can retail. Hello. How you feeling?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
I am good. I've been told the coffee milkshakes are amazing.
It's great.
So I need one of those.
Sure.
And are you having anything?
Yeah, I'm going to do the new burger. You got the Roadside Shack?
It's excellent.
We're going to do one of those, a single.
All right, well, whatever. You're in charge.
And then add a park burger for one of our friends here.
We'll do a cheese fries.
That's it?
All right, I think that's it.
Is it hot back there for you? You're doing okay today.
Yeah, do you see it? I'm going to stick my hand in.
All right.
No, it's not bad.
Thank you. Good to see you.
All right, perfect. Talk to me about tension, right? Because there's we're running a burger stand, we got to move the goods, and then there's you want this experience.
Yeah, and here we are sitting in the park,
right.
And it's all about the experience, right? Shake Shack, right. This is what people who really get it understand. we're not just feeding people here. We're giving you an experience that says, you know what? Every one of us had that old roadside burger stand in our hometown.
Right, right.
What was that about? It was about going there with your mom, with your date, with your buddies. For every reason you would go to that place, it was the community gathering place. That's what Shake Shack gave the world back. And if you look at what fast food did over 50 years, they actually did the opposite, right? They said, we're going to make it as cheap as possible. We're going to make it as uncomfortable as possible. And we're going to ask you to drive through and not even come in, because that's what's best for us. And we said, hold on.
As I was coming down here to talk to you today from our bureau uptown, somebody stopped me and he said, you know, I had a friend who said this about Shake Shack and fast food in general. He said, you know, we're going to see the end of McDonald's in our lifetimes. And Shake Shack is contributing to that a little bit. You all right with that?
Well, I think there's some amazing companies out there who I don't think are going anywhere, and I don't think they're too concerned about us. I think what is a fact is that my family, my kids, and the next generation of millennials and younger cares where their food is coming from. They require more, and they will only be a part of a brand whose ethos they share in all ways of how we run our company. Those are the people who are choosing to go to a place like Shake Shack every day. And in our social media age, remember, this was built in 2004.
Right.
We grew up in Silicon Alley in New York City when Twitter, Facebook, when everything was growing and happening. And you think about it now, wherever I go, I want to take out my phone and I want to share where I am all the time with everyone in the world. So you better be damn proud of where you go and what you're eating and what you're putting in your body. So I think that's what Shake Shack has captured, is saying, people are proud to say, I'm at Shake Shack today. I want to tell my whole world.
The New York Times had a great line about you guys. You are the anti-chain chain. First of all, did you set out to be anti-chain?
We set out to run a bunch of fine dining restaurants and sell a couple hot dogs to raise money for a park. Nobody ever dreamed there'd be a second Shake Shack, let alone today we have 71 and we've gone public. You know, that was just never our dream in our wildest imagination. And what we think about chain can sometimes be a four-letter word. And the way we've changed that is to say, well, why couldn't every link in the chain make the chain actually stronger? And why couldn't every link actually be a little different and be thoughtful and be built for that community, not happen to its community? That's what we've tried to do, and that's what makes a chain of us even stronger every time we add one.
You are going to be a chain, right?
We are.
No doubt about that. I mean, you already got 70-something, as you just said. How big do you want to get?
You know, as long as there's people that continue to line up like we're looking at today, people who continue to choose us for their community gathering moments and when they want a great value, we're going to keep on going. We think the world can handle a lot of Shake Shacks. And, you know, odd part of our story is we're actually in 9 countries already.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, look, we're fortunate. We serve the most globally mass appeal product in the world. Hamburgers, fries, and shakes. We're at the top of the universal design curve, right? And who we are and what we do. So if we do it right and we do it better, there's a huge opportunity for Shake Shack.
When did you know that this was going to be a going concern?
Recently. You know, we literally, look, 2004 we opened, right? We found the second site in 2008 when I was walking home one day on the Upper West Side, and Danny Meyer and I talked about it, and we said, you know what? This thing's pretty popular. Why don't we see if there could be a second one? And we came way out of the box. At that time, I decided to come out of my fine dining role and come into Shake Shack only. When we opened the second in 2008, and all of a sudden it was busier than the first, that's when we kind of looked at each other and scratched our head and said, oh my God, I think we have a responsibility to do something here.
Huh.
But even then, it really wasn't until we opened our sort of fourth and fifth in 2010 where it started to work in Miami. It started to work in a baseball stadium at Citi Field. And in 2011, oddly enough, we opened in Dubai, and it was massively popular. Then we really looked at each other and said, all right, it's on. We're going to make this happen.
How worried are you about diluting the thing that you crafted here? Right? Because Dubai and Madison Square Park are a long ways apart.
Yeah, they sure are. And I think when you create the place in any neighborhood where people want to gather, and you give it to them with all of the thoughtfully designed pieces that Shake Shack does, we got a long way to go. So we've fortunately never seen any dilution. This restaurant was alone in New York for a long time. We now have 8 restaurants in New York, and this restaurant has only gotten busier in the process. So that gives us a lot of confidence for people just want to keep. I think that you're seeing a trade, right? You're seeing a trade up from what was fast food and a trade down from what was casual dining or even sometimes fine dining, where this place is, it's cool enough you're going to take a date and you can spend $20 and still have a really cool night.
When was the last time you and your wife came down here to eat?
Oh, all the time. Well, we mostly go to the Upper West Side because we've got 3
closer
kids.
To home, yeah.
But at least once a week, we're hanging at the Shack.
Food's ready.
Oh, we're buzzing.
All right, let's go get the food. We will, we'll go get the food. And you know what? We'll talk en route, actually. I don't know if it was you or Danny Meyer who said, the bigger we get, the smaller we have to act.
Yeah, that
what does that mean?
That one is mine, and that hangs in my office as a reminder. I was talking about it today with a friend who was in my office. What that means is big companies are really tempted to make big decisions every time
They
grow. Oh, here we go.
All right, what do I do? That's for you.
Thank you, guys. How's everybody doing in there?
Okay,
you guys good?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
There we go.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, what that means is it's really easy to make decisions for efficiency.
Right.
That's one of my least favorite words in the world. I like effectiveness as a better word. And it means we spend more time thinking about the design that meets that neighborhood, the community in which that restaurant's going to operate, and the team that's going to do the job.
All right, now which one is that? Can you tell by looking?
So right here, this is the Park Burger.
All right.
Served here at Madison Square Park. That is with Jasper Hill raw cow's milk cheese.
Wow.
All natural, no hormone, no antibiotic bacon on our classic cheeseburger. And then the second burger I'm chowing is launched on Monday, so this is kind of a big deal.
Oh.
It's called the Roadside Shack, and it's that classic. What we do is we take beer, bacon, and onions, slow simmer it, and put it on top of a cheeseburger, and it's just, oh man, it's just so good. So I may have to take a bite if you don't mind.
No, go to town. Pay no attention to that microphone in your face. I have been advised that I have to ask you about the French fries, because you got the weak spot here used to be the French fries, right?
This was one of the great
fess up to a weak spot.
This is one of the great leadership lessons of my life. So for years we served crinkle cut French fries that were frozen. And our motto here at Shake Shack is stand for something good, right? We're constantly, we removed hormones and antibiotics from all our protein. We removed corn syrup from our shakes. Every day we're taking the trappings of whoever wrote the rule, fast food acts that way, and just making it better, right? So one day we decide, I think we should do our fries fresh cut in-house. So we set out to do that. We make the best damn fresh cut fry you ever had.
They're really good. But
there's more to the story, though.
These aren't them?
Oh, no. So, fresh-cut fries, we're cutting thousands of potatoes by hand all day, every day. Everybody hated them.
Really?
Our fans revolted in the highest order you've ever seen. And for months, I just couldn't get my head around agreeing. And I kept saying, no, God, look, listen, I'm telling you, these are fresh. These are so good. But the reality is a potato that travels from Idaho in a truck has all kinds of crazy things happen to it along the way. And when it gets here, it's inconsistent. And that kept happening. So at the end of the day, after almost a year of playing around with this, we went back to our frozen crinkle-cut fry that you're eating. However, in the process, what was so cool is we took away all those unnatural ingredients, preservatives, colors. Yeah. So now you're eating what Shack fans have spoken out
and
said.
These are really good fries.
You got to have these.
Got to say it.
There's something about the tactile pleasure of a crinkle-cut fry that just makes sense.
One of the things I read when I was studying up for this was you guys prefer the term fine casual, not fast casual?
Yeah, we like to coin that term. You can't have a 30-year history in fine dining like we do and not bring that into how we think about things. Every bit of that coffee shake you're drinking.
Which is really good, by the way.
You know, so we got to source fair trade coffee and do it right. When we think about chocolate, we're using the best chocolates. You're not going to see mass-produced candy mix it in like a lot of people do. You're going to see us work with Mast Brothers, the coolest, most innovative chocolate makers in Brooklyn. When we go to a new city like Austin, Texas, we're going to work and
find... A tough food town.
Tough food town. So what we do,
We went out to Kreutz Market, one of the most loved sausage and barbecue places in America, convinced them to let us serve their jalapeno cheddar sausage on top of a cheeseburger. So every time, that's the bigger we get, the smaller we need to act. Every time we go to a new town, we're seeking out the best coffee, the best chocolate maker, and we're working with those guys to be a part of our menu, do it differently.
Is this what you thought you'd be doing back when you were studying hotel and restaurant management at school? In school?
I would say I don't think I ever imagined that I would be the CEO of a public company running a burger joint. I really just wanted to ski and surf and live in some cool places, and that's why I got into the restaurant business. And I went from Aspen to Hawaii to Seattle and jumped around just enjoying my life. Never dreamed I would live back here in New York where I'm from. Didn't want it. Sure as hell never dreamed I'd have three kids and an amazing wife and be raising my family in Manhattan. Never dreamed. And turns out every year we wake up and say, this is pretty cool. And we've barely scratched the surface of where we're headed.
The number that's bandied around is 450 stores you guys want. Analysts are like, they're going to grow way bigger than that. Obviously, you get to decide, but what do you make of that disconnect?
Well, we appreciate their confidence in us. What I can tell you is what I've told every investor who said, why can't you do more? Why shouldn't you do? Come on, Chipotle's got 2,000. Right. The 450 is not for you. It's for my team. It's for me to say to my team, hey, guys, go get 10 amazing Shake Shacks that will build our brand for the decades to come. Don't go blow it because Wall Street thinks you should do 50. So we're going to do great restaurants, one at a time, thoughtfully crafted, and that will guarantee we get there. And if someday we can get beyond, you'll be the first to know.
I'm going to try something with you that I try every now and then with CEOs. Regular listeners will know it. It's what is your job, or describe your company in 5 words or less?
Tell you what's important to me.
Tell you what's important to me. Six.
Damn, six. Ah.
That's all right.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Six. Six is good. A lot of people can't get it.
I spend my day
20.
Telling people what's important to me so that they don't ever wonder.
Randy Garrudy, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Scott.
Burgers and fries, chips, pies, they were simple and good back then.
So there you have it. Shake Shack's in Dubai, but still none in Los Angeles. They say it's coming in 2016, by the way. I guess I'm going to have to bide my time. Thanks a lot for listening to Corner Office. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll see you next time.
Above at the drive-in picture show. And it was burgers and fries and cherry pies in a world we used to know.
This is APM.